Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Good! Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome back to a second round edition of the Warriors. We're calling this a plus minus podcast.
Plus minus. We're faking it, but that's okay since we're going to get everybody talking. We just call it plus minus. And it'll be just as good. It'll be better, in fact.
I always thought the 82s, you know, they're raw, they're unfiltered, they're post-game, right after your thoughts, they're in arenas. Anyway, Marcus Thompson will be with us, and I think I'm going to save a lot of the theatrical talk.
He's writing about the theatrical, yeah. So
we'll touch on it. But. So we'll start. Marcus should be here relatively soon. Just with the game, you know, blowout, 142 points. I was actually surprised. The most I ever scored in a playoff game in the Durant era, or Dynasty era, you can take it beyond that, was 136 against the Spurs.
I would have thought some of those Portland games were probably right in there, right? I mean, they seemed like they scored, like, 135 every single time when they were beating Portland. But it's a lot. They just kept scoring, right? They got in the second quarter and just kept, it was 37, 39, 41. I mean, just like boom, 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 boom. Shot 62%. This is just their offense flowing. And against the Memphis defense that was not prepared for this, or was, you know, they were overplaying Steph early. What, Steph gets one made basket in the first quarter of three at the very end. So clearly, like, something was working, and then the Warriors just kind of figured it out, and off they go.
Well, you'd think, you know, record-breaking offensive, you know, production standpoint, you know, in this era, if you know, 10 years from now, if you asked, you'd probably be like, what did Steph have, 55? What did he make, 11 threes? Steph went 2 of 8 from 3 tonight.
Yeah. As he said, he brought the three-point percentage down because everyone else was down. Klay was hot. Jordan Poole was very good. Everyone else was very efficient. The way they, you know, we talk about share of the ball, move the ball to where it should go. The energy finds the people who are moving and open, and that's what was happening. And I do think, like, Memphis is really trying to overplay Steph. We've seen it less so since Jordan Poole has been really good, but we saw it. And it took them a little while to kind of look around, and then that freaking second unit was really good. And that's with Steph and Draymond on the bench. It was Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Kevon Looney, Otto Porter, who I wrote about, and Damian Lee, who is not the Warriors fans' favorite player, but serves a solid purpose on that second unit. And we've known how many times, how many playoff series have the Warriors gone into. Oh, my God, what are they going to do in the non-Steph minutes? Oh, my God, to start the second, start the fourth. And it's been right. Those have been very problematic periods, as Kerr has talked about. They're pretty good now in the non-Curry minutes. I mean, not great, but they were good. They were plus 10 to start the second quarter without Steph. They go plus 10 to start the second quarter without Steph. I don't know that they can lose. I don't know how they lose when they do that. And they clearly didn't lose tonight.
So stat I put in my post-game story that alludes to it. They've 144 minutes through three games. 111 Steph minutes. They're plus one. And that, so I think that leaves, what 33 non-Steph minutes. They're plus 25. So, I mean, they've won this series.
Why are they playing Steph so much? Just sit him on the bench. It's, you know, clearly Jordan Poole's dynamic play. And, you know, he hasn't been dynamic every game, but when he's dynamic, he just does stuff that no one else does and punishes defenses. You know, he was going at Tyus Jones. My God.
He has killed Tyus Jones in this series, and it is such a luxury for the Warriors to say, you know, Jordan Poole, you are now so good that, you're basically turning into a star, but you're a 35-minute per game player where all of his metrics with Steph are insane. They're so good. I mean, going back to his second season, right? We talked about it all off season where you would, you know, ask somebody in the front office about something. They'd be like, have you seen like the Steph Jordan together? So we know that works. But now what he has done, as we're talking about to the non-Steph units, he's basically the backup point guard. Well, Tyus Jones is considered a top 10 backup point guard in the league. He's been good. Well, guess what? Your backup point guard that you're going against is Jordan Poole. And Jordan Poole is way better than Tyus Jones.
Just destroying him. I mean, they almost was like hunting him, and they don't always do that, but it's not a good matchup for the Grizzlies, and there's no way around it. Who else is he going to guard? And because you put him on Clay will cook him. You know, there's just – that's what the Warriors want to do. They want to have more good guards on the floor than you can defend, and you can't hide Ja Morant or you can't hide Tyus Jones on anybody just because they're going to put you out there, going to move the ball around, and these guys are going to be dynamic enough that you just can't stop them because there's multiples out there. And again, I thought Otto Porter, once again, Sam Amick leaving the building, everybody, was just subtly tremendous. Just doing stuff that you can't, you know, like, what was he really doing? He was knocking the ball loose. He was setting picks. He was, you know, playing some center. But plus 30, this is not a new thing for him.
You know what he is in the series now?
Oh, God. I know what it was, like plus 40-something, right?
Plus 49 in 68 minutes.
Yep. He's plus, it's in my story. I can't remember. Like plus 76 in the postseason. Draymond is plus 86, whatever it is. These are estimates because I just looked them up. I wrote them. But, like, these are substantial numbers. And there's got to be a reason for it. I think one of the reasons he's on that second unit and he's really important part of that second unit, he's not making shots until tonight when he made three threes. Most threes he's made since January 23rd. So it's a long time.
Wow. I know he was 2 of 15 from three coming in.
In the postseason and makes three, which is – it's like the Iguodala threes, right? It's like he does so many other things. When he makes multiple threes, it's like magic. And as the series goes, like, it's only going to get more physical, right? It's not going to get less physical for things that we will discuss later in the podcast. They don't have a lot of big bodies. Like, they don't have people who can absorb these shocks, who can wrestle on the post. Like, they might play Steven Adams at some point, right? And just knock some people around. Not that he's a dirty player, but he is a large fellow. So, cameo luxury. And who else they got? Kevon Looney. And that's it. And Otto Porter fills a lot of these. The Iguodala, kind of a meld between Iguodala and David West right now. And that's pretty good for the Warriors. They need those players in championship runs.
So 68 minutes, which it's not even – he doesn't play half the minutes. 21 rebounds in this series in three games. He leads the team, but he's like, you know, a bench player. You know, he started the second half, as you mentioned. He may start game four. I actually like the Kuminga starting lineup choice. Kerr has made it clear. He made it clear in practice. Like, he doesn't view that three-guard lineup, at least in this particular matchup, as a sustainable. He said it can't play 25 minutes per night. It's going to be kind of pick and choose. And I do think he likes to separate Poole and Curry enough so he can just kind of ride Poole in the non-minutes. So can't start Payton, obviously. They've made it clear also in this series they're unwilling to play Looney and Draymond together because of the spacing problems. So you can't start Looney.
There's Porter, you know.
Yeah, so – Porter did start the second half, and he earned it, right? I mean, it was probably his best. His first half was probably his best half. It made sense to start him. But I could also see them sticking with Kuminga, and we could talk about how Kuminga looked tonight. Finishes with 18 points. A lot of it is in mop-up duty. He had offensive problems. He was kind of rushed going into traffic early. But, and I put this in my post-game story, two isolation situations against Ja Morant early on, blocks a Ja Morant shot and turns Ja Morant away where Ja Morant can't get by him and has to pass it back out.
A huge ovation from the Chase Center crowd. By the way, who knows what it was looking at? Like, wait a minute, he didn't go up and over. He didn't do the he can't guard me thing. on Kuminga like he did before. This is a length, you know, and athleticism that the Warriors need. I talk about with Porter, if Kuminga could give them to them, that's just, that was it, two free baskets every game of just him outrunning the other guy? Like, this is free points. This is there. And if he can rebound, always somewhat a question mark with him. If he can avoid fouling, always a question mark with him. If he can stay with perimeter players, I think he's going to keep playing more and more. I mean, we all know that there are certain people in the organization that would love to see him play more. Excuse me. Steve Kerr has been hesitant on it. He's been careful. You understand that. But you look at the way this series is going to go, they're going to need every big body, every strong body they got. And he's their, you know, he's their most athletic player. Maybe one of the most athletic players in Warriors history, just by the stuff that he can do out there.
Yeah, and look, this is a two steps back summer conversation, next season conversation. But like, man, the value for Jonathan Kuminga to get these minutes in these series, to get the, as Steve Kerr called it, like, you know, not only do you get the film work and you know, to kind of go implement it on the court, but you get the correction the next day. You get the, hey, in a playoff series, you can't miss this box out.
I thought they might only give him the starting stint, but then he put him back in the second half. You know, he's in the rotation at some point. And, you know, then get the nerves of it, and then, like, no, he's gonna get some minutes again in Memphis. But that was part of it. He wasn't terrible in the two Memphis games, and the numbers weren't great, but he wasn't terrible at all. He was sustainable. You could throw that out there and say, okay, if it gets a little bit better, this might be a real positive, and if it gets a lot better, this is going to be tremendous.
What he wasn't in the Memphis game is he wasn't mistake-prone at all. He played safe minutes, which, you know, it's like if you threw Bielitsa out there or something, and we're like, hey, you know, kind of staying there, whatever, and that was impressive in a really raucous, you know, road playoff environment for him to just play controlled basketball. He starts tonight, and I think that got his juices flowing a little bit more. Like, okay, they're making a statement, putting me out here. Like, I need to go make a, you know,
try to go
an
oop,
impact.
They did an oop to him in the first play of the game.
Yep.
You know, but that's their fault. Like, they're going to the oop to him. It wasn't his fault. It was John Morant made it, you know, was obviously looking for it and made a great play to knock it away. But then I think the next play, they went right to him again. Like, they were trying to get him in there.
He also was, like, trying to go downhill a little bit too much. And then remember he had the play. It was the final play of his first stint. He kind of, you know, rumbled into traffic, hit a few bodies, then tried to hit Clay in the corner and threw it to the Grizzlies bench and then slapped the floor all mad.
Him and Clay. John Morant in front of him. I was like, what the hell? He's got John Morant in front of him. That should just be power up. And if the worst thing that happens is John Morant fouls you. But he kind of just flipped it away. Again, that's a tough team, right? I mean, they all were having trouble finishing. You got Jaren Jackson coming your way, or you got Brandon Clark coming your way, or you got, you know, Xavier Tillman, you know, John Morant could jump. You got guys who can nest around with you at the rim. And Kuminga couldn't just overpower them. He overpowers a lot of people, could not overpower Jared Jackson and Brandon Clark. But you can see this happening. And again, two free baskets a game is nothing to sneeze at. Like, they don't get those from anybody else. I've said it a million times. This is just somebody who is explosive in a way that they are not. Interesting minutes. Again, no Iguodala, no GP2, no Wiseman, no Bielitsa, no JTA. Like, you go down the thing, like, they have to play him at some point. And I think we're, you know, it's only going to get a little more and a little bit more as these playoffs go on. And Memphis is a good spot to drop him in, just, again, to combat the athleticism.
Yeah, and again, maybe I'm stalling because I'm waiting for Marcus to come. But, you know, to get to the real topic of the night by the end of the night. So we will get to the Ja Morant, Jordan Poole. Nobody needs to feel like we're avoiding that. We're waiting for Marcus to come in for that. But, you know, like, these are also the type of minutes where when they remake this roster this offseason, it's going to be like Jordan Poole is a guaranteed 30-something minute per night, probably starter, and, like, Jonathan Kuminga is a monster part of the rotation next season. And for them to find this stuff out so positively in these moments, it's really huge for the future.
While they're winning. Right? And this is not while they're losing. I think, you know, it would all minutes, yeah, those go to Kuminga. Those go to Kuminga, and then they figure out where else the minutes go to Kuminga. And if you have a Draymond, Kuminga, Wiggins, three forwards, that's not terrible. Like, that's a good place to start. Wherever Moody fits in there, like, this is...
Say the other name.
Which one? Who's the other name?
The center.
It's the center. What do you mean? Wiseman? Well, he's not the forward. I'm talking forwards. Yeah.
Mapping out the rotation?
No. I'm not putting anything down for Wiseman. People might be doing it. I am not. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they can re-sign Porter at this point. Who knows? But, like, you can begin to see how this is all going to work. And this guy's, 19, like, was it the youngest player to ever start an NBA playoff game, something like that? I mean, it's remarkable.
Although Zaire Williams was pretty much just as young. And actually, Zaire Williams has been good in this series.
Zaire Williams is a good ball. Although, you know, as predicted, he wasn't going to make as many shots here as he did in Memphis. But I like him. I mean, he guards Steph well. Just that alone.
How about first possession? He hits a contested bomb from like 28 feet. And then Jaren Jackson and John Moran are just raining threes. Yep. Memphis hits that's the thing. Memphis loses by 30 tonight. They hit a bunch of really tough threes in the first half, including the half quarter.
It's almost like you would almost rather, if you're them, not see that in the first quarter, because it wasn't going to be sustained. There were six of their first eight, and that's just not sustainable, specifically on the road. You want to try to do that at the end. I mean, we saw Denver do that to the Warriors. Like, you want to do it at the end. You just kind of run a rain at the end. You can't do it all game. You'd rather have it at the end of the beginning. I it was amazing. I was like, is Jaren Jackson really going to go like 11 for 13 from three? No. Is John Morant going to go, you know, 7 and 9? No. It wasn't good for the Warriors, but I don't think they were that rattled by it. Like, these are shots that they would give up, and they gave them up. I do think we can get to it as we kind of try to move over to the big topic. Memphis not having Dylan Brooks hurt them. I'm a Dylan Brooks guy. Marcus is not a Dylan Brooks guy, but that's just a guy that was going to chase Steph all around, so he put Zaire on somebody else. And they did not have that, and it really knocked down, you know, the pecking order for them, where Ja had to guard somebody or Tyus Jones had to guard somebody, like real, not just be out there. And I'm not saying, you know, it's worth 30 points.
Look, he's their best perimeter defender, and they just gave up 142 points in a playoff game. Yep. Like, yeah, he would help. He will help in game four, but you know what else? He might help fire up a crowd that I wasn't that impressed with.
I thought it was a good crowd. No, you didn't like it?
I'm coming off that Memphis
crowd. Yeah, it's not Memphis, and it's not OKC, and it's not, you know, various other spots, and it's not Oracle. But I thought I thought game five against Denver was disappointing. If you're just looking at it, like, you thought there would be a level, the first closeout game at Chase Center, and I didn't think it was there. I thought game two was much better. And I thought this game was, like, it was loud before tip. Like, my usual barometer is loud before tip. Is there, like, and game five, no. This game, there were, you know, boos, and there were, like, a feeling that this was an event. Maybe that's because I just saw Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you know, before the game. And I just thought, okay, this is an event now. There's things happening.
It wasn't the Waltons that...
Waltons, no, it probably wasn't.
By the way, I mean, again, as I stall for Marcus, and of course, turn this into a Sacramento Kings podcast, how about the luminaries here tonight, where you have, obviously, Mike Brown, who is a leading candidate for the... one of two candidates at this point for the open Kings job on the Warriors bench. You have Mark Jackson, the other candidate, doing the game. Vivek shows up, and the Waltons are here, including Luke Walton, the guy that was fired. It was just like, it's just a lot going on here.
It's all Sacramento stuff. I don't quite count that with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch being there, or even Bill Walton. That's all Sacramento stuff.
By the way, Marcus Thompson is saving. I was turning into a Kings podcast. You had Mike Brown, Mark Jackson, Luke Walton, Vivek in the building.
Like, what will the rotation look like when Mark Jackson's the coach? And I was saying, I don't care what they do. I don't care. Just make sure Harrison Barnes is still on the team.
Can Mike Brown create a top 15 defense with Fox
are
and Sabonis?
Stay with this podcast?
All right, sorry. We held all the Morant pool conversation until you got here, because we know you wrote about it, and now we can get into what really is, I guess, the topic of the day. What was your column
about? Just about how there's no way in this world Jordan Poole wants Morant out this series. He wants to go at him, right? Like, as you wrote about, he was a target in game two, and game three, he was very clearly like, okay, I'm going back at this guy. And we know Jordan Poole, man. Jordan thinks he's a star. He's certain of it. So he wasn't.
I'm starting to believe he's correct.
Yeah, no, he's definitely right. But he wants Ja on the court to go at, right? So it was a very weird play. I'm not sure what he was doing. It probably looks worse in slow-mo replay than it did live. I didn't see it live. It looks like, what is he doing? Like, why are you doing that? But you just know Jordan wants Ja on the court. That's what I wrote about. Like, he's not trying to get Ja at the game. Ja is going to help him prove that he's a superstar.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think there's 0% chance anyone can realistically say, like, he was grabbing the knee because he thought if he tweaked it this way, the jaw, you know, it was odd. It seemed to me it was just, you know, as they're grappling for the ball, stuff like that happens. I don't know. I mean, maybe because everything is so gaslit in this series, like the league maybe says like flagrant one or something. But like, I don't see any like Warriors people behind the scenes. We all know this. We're kind of laughing at like that Memphis was even attempting to make this like a Dylan Brooks type thing.
There might have been some laughter in the hallway as we were waiting for players, or particularly for one player. But. Yeah, I mean, hey, we've been through this, the Cleveland series in 2016, where it just gets elevated and elevated and elevated, and then Draymond brushes LeBron's groin area, and the NBA just felt they had to do something.
Yeah, but they didn't suspend him. No, they gave him a flagrant.
They knew he was going to suspend him.
That's right. I could see them saying flagrant one.
Yeah, you're probably right. I was feeling like, I just having gone through that, it was suspension, but you're right. It was them incrementally doing it, but they were upset. Now, I don't think they're going to be that upset just because it's Jordan Poole. Like, they're not going to say, we've been warning you. And that was the case with Draymond in 2016. So, yeah, flagrant one or some kind of fine or something.
Or nothing. I mean, grabbed his knee and like a...
They're going to get so much pressure from Memphis and break the code. That's silly. If you do look at it, now that I think about it, it is silly for, you know, Taylor Jenkins or for... You know, Jaw to tweet it and then delete it. That they're obviously mocking Steve Kerr and implying that, in the same way that Kerr said that Dylan Brooks broke the code of players, is you don't do things to try to harm them. And that was, if anything, that was Jordan Poole accidental and kind of just a reaction. It was potentially, you know, it was definitely harmful. It hurt him, but to say that broke the code is, you know, that is gaslighting. That is. Exaggerating in the playoff moment, and maybe the NBA won't love that. But I think they're probably going to do something to Jordan Poole just to try to get Memphis from going crazy, and that does happen. I mean, no. Tim Frank's going to text me after I say this. Of course, they never do stuff like that, but something like that, I can see something publicly happening.
I may be wrong, but I'm going to guess nothing. I'm going to guess league goes, that's just not nothing. Anything.
I think it's nothing, too.
Hot stove contact, I believe Steph Curry called it.
Ah, I forgot to get that in the piece. But
I put it in my
eyes. Oh, good. So, yeah, that's what... You know, the behind the scenes talk, you know, let you guys into a little bit of what we got. It's not that they, you know, they are saying what Jordan Poole did was great. You know, they're saying, hey, Jordan is not that type of player. But where they're going crazy is the comparison, like, to Dylan Brooks and what Dylan Brooks did, and putting that in the remotely in the same area. I think that's where they lose.
And the Draymond thing, by the way.
That's like,
the Draymond and Dylan Brooks thing.
That's what I thought was interesting. Steph was like, it wasn't Dylan, or it wasn't even Draymond. Like, Draymond slapping Brandon Clark and grabbing his jersey certainly a flagrant one. I remember, you know, it's crazy. This was like five dramas ago within the series. But like,
I literally was like, wait, what was the Draymond thing? I just forgot about it.
You know, that massive ejection from game
out of the jersey. Yeah, that's right.
Like, that was like borderline flagrant one too. But yeah, I mean, their point was like, look, you have an easier argument making that the Draymond play was much more dangerous. The jaw thing, and also the jaw thing, like, yeah, I mean, they seem to think that's what hurt the knee, but also there was like five other clips out there where it seemed like he might have been tweaking the knee. Know, and he had knee problems late in the year.
But if his knee was already hurt and then you do that, then that's where it's like, okay, you know, this is a problem. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of 2013. Remember, speaking of Mark Jackson being in the building, where there was like the whole Kenneth Faried and they're going up the Steph's ankle. They're trying to.
Yeah, the secret source on that one, by the way.
The secret source has been revealed, I think.
I think we probably know. The initials AI on that one.
But not Allen Iverson, right?
No, probably not. You know, I mean, again, this is playoff emotions and this is playoff fever. And, you know, we had the Memphis sideline reporter trying to get Jordan Poole suspended for taking three steps off the bench when Gary Payton got hurt. And, you know, there wasn't an altercation, so he wasn't going to get suspended. So I think you guys are probably right. I mean, lean more towards not much happening, if anything. But playoffs do get hot. Like, the NBA does kind of want to cool it down. But it is, the more I think about it, the ridiculousness of trying to compare it to Dylan Brooks is paramount. It's like, come on, guys. This is not what that is. You can be mad about it, but don't be mad about it in a petty way. And you can be mad about what Steve Kerr said, but you understand why he said he was mad about his player.
That's the part to me that's weak, and I'm, you know, probably why Ja deleted it. It's like there is a difference between doing something that will most often lead to being injured and some unfortunate, you know, situation.
Or he could've stopped it half millisecond earlier. He could have pulled his hand off the knee, and he didn't. But that's like, he kind of swiping for a ball. That's what you're kind of doing there.
Where you could tell, you know, as we go through the differences between Jordan Poole and Dylan Brooks, where you could tell Jordan Poole, when he came up, like, you, Marcus had to bring it up on his phone to show him the play. Like, you could tell Jordan Poole, I don't even think he necessarily knew that he even grabbed a knee. Where imagine if you're like, Dylan, the play with Gary Payton, like, which one are you talking about? That foul?
Yeah, but yeah. It's playoff. You know, you guys are going to be in Memphis for game five. I will not. That atmosphere is going to be a little rabid. It's already rabid, and it's going to be crazy for game five. I think the NBA does have an interest in calming those things down. I probably force them now not to have Scott Foster there for game five, since I'm going to predict it.
It's a Zarba game.
It might be a Zarba. Yeah, Zarba didn't do this one, so maybe it's Zarba.
Zarba did Bucks-Celtics today.
Yeah, might be Zarba and Foster. But it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot, and they're going to want to cool that down. Now, however they view cooling that down is, I don't know. But that is going to be something they don't want to get super ugly. And it could get ugly. And we'll see. But, yeah, a team, I don't want to say whining, because the Warriors do it too. Everybody does it. But this is getting a little over the top. You know, begging for suspensions just because you're mad about the last one. Or you're mad about how the coach talked about the last one. Because I don't think anybody really is going to say, that's absolutely not a flagrant two. That couldn't have been a flagrant two. Like nobody. Like, even the crowd. Remember they showed the video of the Dylan Brooks play? The crowd went in Memphis. Ooh. Even they went,
I felt like at the time it was like, well, you know, Draymond did that in game one. So, you know, like, that's game two. And then, honestly, I mean, the big thing there was, like, the fact that Gary Payton fractured his elbow was just, like, that's
and,
what.
And he's writhing in pain. Like, you knew it from the beginning. Like, he's out. He's out. The players knew it. So, again, we're talking about gradings of this, and it's hard to tell exactly for sure, but it gets a little bit much when, you know, you're trying to compare that to what seemed like an accidental, if unnecessary, you know, amount of time that your hand was on his knee. But that's, you're measuring it in like a Zapruder film, trying to figure out exactly, and you did not have to do that with Dylan Brooks. You did not have to go through that frame by frame to figure out what he did, and that it was probably not the greatest thing in the world.
Game-wise, Marcus, we talked about a lot of it already. You know, we haven't talked about Klay Thompson. Yep. 8-13, which would signal like, ooh, smart Klay Thompson took better shots.
It was not, baby.
I don't think it was.
He's not regretting any of those shots in game two, by the way. No matter how much his coach might have like hinted about it. He's like, I'll take those shots.
But it's, I mean, like, he didn't, like, he had some good catch and shoots that he should take, but he also, he's somebody called it the Dirk. Like, he's thinking he's Dirk suddenly taking these 13-foot leaning fadeaways. He took the 1 foot, like, coming off a screen, like, leaner from three that he made and was like, post game, like, yeah, if I'm squared, like, it's a good shot.
One foot, two foot, what a good
I guess 13 attempts is a good thing. Warriors had an incredibly spread attack tonight to score 142, but I don't know who wants to go
for
it.
I mean, Steph pointed this out. He didn't start off hunting threes, right? The Warriors, everybody took their time and worked for good shots, which was kind of what they had been saying. And a big part of that is Klay. It's Steph and Klay. It's them not going for the hero shots. And Klay did that. He was chilling. He got to spots. That, to me, it like watching the games over, it was very obvious. Like, Memphis defense is low-key not good.
Well, right? Who were they missing tonight?
Yeah, he's been hyping Dylan Brooks. You missed it earlier.
Think Dylan Brooks is the answer for that.
He would have helped. 142. No, but they're not giving up 142 with Dylan Brooks, probably.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
He's good. They're giving up like 136 tonight.
Steph didn't go crazy. Steph was 1-for-6 from three.
Then you can put Zaire in and put him on somebody else. Like, it does mess them up a little bit. He's their best defensive player. I'm not saying he's the greatest player of all time, but they give up, as Slater said earlier.
I don't know he's their best defensive player.
Anthony
Milton is a better defensive player.
Jaren Jackson might be their best defensive player. Yeah. Quite physical himself.
Jaren Jackson is their best defensive player. I'm talking about, like,
Priming, defender, yeah.
DeAnthony, like, Dylan Brooks is guaranteed to get you three fouls. Like,
you are down on Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks was really good in the play-in last year on Steph.
Yes, he was.
He's a good player.
I mean, he hasn't played great in this series, but he's a good player.
Dylan Brooks in game four is going to be interesting, by the way. The crowd reaction to him, his general demeanor on the court. By the way, he hasn't talked to the media yet.
No, he hasn't.
Which, like, to me signals that, like, he's – I don't know if he's handling it well or not, but the fact that maybe you blame the organization for this, but I don't think it's a great look that he hasn't even talked to the media yet. Will he before game four or after? I don't know. But I'm just curious about his demeanor out there, how physical he is considering, and how he guards Steph.
He's a good player. Like, he's a really good player. My issue with him is sometimes he thinks he's Ja Morant, right? And he just gets a little wild.
Or Desmond Bane, yeah. And he's taking shots where they should be taking those shots.
Their problem, though, isn't – it's not even really perimeter defense. They're all going to do the same thing. They're going to press up. The problem is the paint's wide open. Like, that's the problem. The Warriors have 56 points in the paint in game one, 60 points in the paint in game two, and then another 62 tonight. It's just wide open. All the Warriors have to do is take it.
And they're like winning the rebounding battle. They're out hustling them. And it's like they can't play Steven Adams. Maybe they'll try in game four, but he's kind of their offensive rebounder. Brandon Clark's not having that big of an impact, at least in tonight.
Minus 24 for Brandon Clark. Man, he got – well, that was basically he was playing the Porter minutes and he just got bombed in him. I think the Warriors are pretty happy about that because I think they've been worried about him because he can crash the glass. He had a great series previously. And they can get hurt on the glass, and they've just been walling them off. Looney and Porter have been really
Wiggins.
Great. Wiggins has been great. That Wiggins dunk, by the way. My God.
Second time he's done this to Brandon Clark. Yeah, and we didn't really talk about it much after game
this
two.
This one, he did to LeBron. He did, like, get out of my way. Andrew
I was actually
Wiggins.
Surprised they didn't call it
it was an offensive foul, but I was like, one of those, like, LeBron doesn't get called for the offensive foul either. Yeah. Just because you're so incredibly talented to do that. Like, whatever, just go ahead and do that. And that's not Andrew Wiggins. That's not the Wiggins that the league knows. It was like, I mean, you could just tell by the reaction by, like, Steph, and they'll be like, oh, my God, that's what we wanted. This is exactly what we want this guy to do. Welcome, Andrew. Keep coming.
Yeah, so funny story. I talked to Wiggins for a piece I did, and I was, you know, he was 0-for-2 on tip dunk, so I was giving him a hard time. He tried that. Remember, he tried that one in Denver and almost threw it.
That would have swept Denver.
That would have been crazy. Then he tried another one in game one against the Grizzlies. So I was just talking to him about it. He couldn't believe he missed them. He was just like, I don't know how I missed those. Like, those are my dunks. So I told him, like, hey, man, you got to get a tip dunk now. Like, you got to get at least one. So after he dunks on Brandon Clark in game, what was the game two? Yeah. So I was going to tell him after the post-game press conference, like, hey, man, I think you're off the hook now. But he stops and he's like, that's way better than a tip dunk, right? Like, I should be good. I was like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's like, okay, because, you know, what I did to him, that's way better than tip dunk. He's feeling pretty good about banging on Brandon Clark. He's going to try it every time now. When he gets it in his mind that person can't take me, he becomes a different player. Yeah. And now if he thinks that person might block it or he can't beat him, that's when he becomes like step back mid-range Wiggins. But this Wiggins, when he's like, yo, you're a mark and I'm about to take you, he becomes a different player.
He has had a great series and a great playoffs. You know, this is what, we're 8 games into these playoffs. He's answered the call. He's done exactly what they've needed him to do. It's not like he's scoring a bunch or shooting a bunch, but he's like dirty work. Like, he's, you know, the best of Harrison Barnes, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, aggression here and there, defense. I mean, he's guarding John Morant. I mean, not like he's stopping him, but he's their best guy now that GP2's out to guard John Morant. He was guarding him a lot even when GP2 was out there. I was thinking, like, you know, hey, they could have got better. They could have got some other star, you know, Bradley Beal or whoever. But the way it's worked out isn't terrible for them because of Jordan Poole. Now, that has made a lot of their decisions, which might, you know, some of them might be right, some of them might be wrong. Because Jordan Poole is there, they don't have the need for those things that we were talking about. And that extra center, you know, right now that's Otto Porter. Yeah. I mean, like, so, like, things are kind of, like, you can understand. I'm not saying they planned it exactly this way, because who the hell planned for Jordan Poole to play like this? But while this is happening, you can see, like, there wasn't a huge need to sacrifice Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga to get somebody who would be doing, what, better than Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole right now? No, that wouldn't have happened, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, they could have got Bradley Beal, or Jordan Poole could just turn into Bradley Beal. I mean, that works. I mean,
Jordan Poole is potentially more valuable than Bradley Beal right now. Just, you know, age, whatever, injury, all that sort of
contract
stuff.
He's only on the books for 3.9.
That is the solution to so much. Somebody was telling you that, Slater. We won't say who it was. Pre-game. Like, come on. Give the Warriors credit for Jordan Poole. And didn't think so in the first 2 years, but you have to give him credit for that pick. 28 to get this kind of player. I'm the one who's been critical of him. I'm the one who's been skeptical of him. This guy's worth, I don't know if he's worth max, but he's worth really close to it.
Through 8 playoff games, he's averaging like 23 per game on 57, like 47, 90.
The bucket are unbelievable. They're just unbelievable. I don't know anyone else who's doing that in the NBA right now. Lillard, maybe. Like, they're just like, you can't get to it. These guys, they're big guys tracking him, and he gets it right past them. And they're always huge buckets. Like, the first one he made was, like, I think they were down 8. Poole comes in there, boom, explodes the bat, left-handed, past Jaren Jackson, I think it was. Like, that is – those are – when I talk about tough twos, that's a freaking tough two. And those are playoff game-turning plays. And Jordan Poole's capable of 5, 6, 7, 8 a game of those kind of plays. And those are that's value, pure value.
Game 4, quick turnaround Monday. I mean,
3 days off between games this time. Oh, my God.
But, I mean, there's not huge, I don't think, adjustments necessarily. Memphis needs to play better. They get Dylan Brooks back. Maybe you see Steven Adams, and they try to just go, like, hey.
Crunch ball.
Is that Memphis's – should Memphis do that? Should they go Steven Adams is starting, like, bully him inside? You might hit some – like, I don't think that's the answer to beating the Warriors, but get weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Warriors would be okay with that.
I think they would, but what do you do if you're Memphis?
You know, that's interesting. They're just selling out so much on threes but still giving up threes that I'm surprised they haven't tried something a little bit less aggressive on the perimeter. Yeah. Like, you know, Steph is, what, 2 for his last 13 from three or something crazy?
No,
like,
Taylor Jenkins is not less tough. I'm going to shoot threes.
Yeah, but it's like, at some point, you just got to say, all right, we're just not going to give up an open lane every time. So,
but here's what they're doing. They're giving up the open lane, and then they're crashing inside. Yeah. That's why the Warriors are kicking it out, and then you have the open three. Or then they have to rotate back to that, and then they kick it back inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not getting the initial thrust with the drive, but they're going to kick. And they're doing that really well. They're passing the ball really well.
He might have to do, like, with Brooks coming back, the answer is probably to go small with Jaren at center. Instead of, I don't know why he's still going with Tillman and Jackson together. Like, the Warriors are just feasting on that. They're too
well, low. Apparently they really try to protect Jackson from foul trouble. Yeah. He's like, he's crazy foul prone when he plays the five. Maybe that's Adams instead of Jackson.
But if he plays the five against the Warriors, it's Draymond or Looney. Like, is he going to get pick up crazy fouls like that? I guess he could.
I mean, because he's just going to come over. He's like, yeah. I'm the lone shot blocker out here.
That's where you put him in the pick and roll, pull him away from the basket.
The other thing I would say about that too, and you saw it tonight in the third. So Warriors are good coming out with Porter, and they're playing Porter, and then Tillman's not good. Jenkins pulls Tillman off early, much earlier. He goes to Jackson at the 5 and 9 minutes, but right when he does that, Kerr goes pull, and then that allows the Warriors to go small. And like, yes, you are going small, but now you're making the Warriors go small, and they're just better at small than you.
Yep.
So that's my thing. I'm like, just go completely anti them. Like, Adams out there a bunch. Just try to just – they're losing the rebounding battle in this series. All three games they've been out-rebounded. Like,
you can't have Adams play the Tillman minutes, right? You know, I mean, I don't know. You lose a lot doing that. And just see. And maybe that's a cameo. Maybe he sets a tone. I don't know. I think the Warriors will be looking for him.
They're using him to track Steph. So if, when they come
it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Like, they have to fight through the screen kind of thing. Dylan Brooks fight through the screen. That's what you have to do. I could see SM Adams. Just to give, it's just like one of those, here we go. Look at this. We're putting Adams out there. You have to think about it. And he might screen you in the backcourt, and you won't like it. Remember Bogut screening Iguodala in the Denver series? It's like one of those things where I could see something like that, even if it is for 5 minutes. Just to try to say, okay, we're gonna come at you guys, and we're gonna come at you with the biggest, baddest guy there is in the league.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing for Memphis, they need to figure out what's up with John Morant's knee. That will be a major storyline in the off day Sunday, including, I guess if the league decides to do something or any type of response or non-response from the league on this Poole's Morant situation.
Joe Dumars, I think,
already?
Well, who knows? One of those guys. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Could be. I saw Kiki Vandeweghe tonight.
He was huge in 2016. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All Kiki.
All right. We will talk to you post-game for Monday night.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.